I got to know the Webbs through my first wife's brother-in-law, Costello, who lived next door to them in a house now pulled down to make room for skyscrapers. Costello, though a Catholic, agreed in most matters with the Webbs. I met Costello first in 1889 during a famous dock strike, and for some years I became a complete disciple of the Webbs. I think they hoped to make me one of their young men, but in the end I found that the degree of my agreement with them was much smaller than I had thought. Their brand of socialism was authoritarian. They approved of everything done by the state and disapproved of nearly everything done by private enterprise. Where the functions of the state deserved to be increased, their work was useful. But where these functions called for diminution, it was not. I retained from my liberal days a suspicious attitude towards the state, especially as embodied in the church and the army, both of which the Webbs highly approved of. One of their first important intrusions into practical politics was in the sphere of education. They supported Balfour's two education acts, which rescued a number of church schools from extinction, and they supported the Boer War on no grounds that I could discover, except that it was a state enterprise. It was on the question of the Boer War that I broke with them. At first, under their influence, I approved it, but after it had been going some time, I became vehemently opposed to it. The First World War sharpened our differences. I was wholly opposed to it, whereas Webb, when Lord Lansdowne proposed easy terms for peace, exclaimed, "We must keep the soldiers' noses to the grindstone." In other spheres, however, their work was very useful, especially Mrs. Webb's report on the poor law, which in her later communist days she completely repudiated. I think their conception of politics was derived from Mrs. Webb's father, who had ingenious methods of managing or hoodwinking the shareholders of various companies of which he became chairman. They had no belief in democracy. Their conception of government was a small band of clever experts who could always defeat and circumvent any popular opposition to their wishes. This went so far as to make them reluctant to oppose Mussolini. In the end, it carried them right over into communism, of which, in Stalin's day, they completely approved. My personal relations with both of them continued friendly through all vicissitudes. At times, my wife and I shared a house with them, but the area of my political agreement with them continually narrowed. I considered Stalin's regime abominable. The Webbs wholeheartedly applauded it. When one objected to atrocities, they would say, "But such things are necessary in a revolution," and would point to Henry VIII as a beneficent predecessor of Stalin. It must, however, be granted that the Webbs performed a great and valuable task in making socialism scholastically respectable. Bentham had performed a similar task in an earlier generation. In his day, Robert Owen was the visionary. His later successors in utopian socialism found themselves powerless, and without the help of the Webbs, I do not believe that any form of socialism would have remained an important factor in British politics. Webb had begun as a civil servant, and he continued throughout his life to favor what may be called civil service socialism. But he required allies in the campaign for what he considered desirable, and these allies were in many respects such as to regret the one-sidedness of Webbian conceptions. They kept socialism sane, and their political allies kept it sufficiently utopian.
in their later years, after they had joined forces with the communists, they ceased to believe in wire pulling and trickery as the weapons of success. Their earlier work remained, and their later work did no harm. They will go down to history as a monument of hard work devoted to reform. Important reform movements require for success both a utopian vision and a capacity for industrious exploration of what is wrong with existing institutions. The Webbs did great work in the second of these tasks, but as regards the first, their love of authority often led them astray.